Blog Talk Radio.
Do you hear music? Welcome to Hawks Black Student Union Speaks. This is hashtag Spark 20. This is December 9th, 2015. We are here live at Mohawk Valley Community College on campus. We are with Randall J. Randy Van Wagner, PhD. He is the president of Mohawk Valley Community College. We will be asking him a couple of questions on behalf of the Black Student Union. So we'll just get right on in. I would just like to give you a little bit of background about Dr. Van Wagner. He came to MVCC after serving as a chief academic officer at Metropolitan Community College in Omaha, Nebraska, and the chief student affairs officer at Red Rocks Community College in Golden, Colorado. He is a national leader in the community college movement and has been instrumental in the development of the National Strategic Horizons Network of Colleges. He received his graduate degree from the Higher Education Program at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, his BA in Communications from Oakland University in Rochester, Michigan, and was a two-sport athlete at Mott Community College in Flint, Michigan. He and his wife, Jennifer, live with their two daughters in New Hartford. So just a little bit of background about MVCC. It was founded in 1946. MVCC was the first community college founded in the New York State. The college is known for the outstanding success of its students who transferred to a four-year institution, the talents of the graduates from the comprehensive array of career and technical programs, and is committed to continuing development of the dynamic community it serves. And you can find this information at www.mvcc.edu/presidents-office. And I would just like to remind everyone, greetings and welcome to Hawks Black Union Speaks. It is a new world ordained by our ancestors, linked socially with our purpose, meeting of the minds, cooperating consciously to help one another to get to the next level of ordained inheritance. Humbling ourselves with a medium that provides each paradigm with promise, empowering potential visions, motivating a discipline that promotes the righteous mind, remaining aware that fantasy, dreams, and imagery is actually found, restoring self by letting go of our wounds before our grand awakening. It is a breakthrough of rose-colored rainbows, familiarizing love on each dimension, growing and resurrecting through serpent emotions, waking up to the fact that shedding your rough skin will lessen the mental load. Using death as a thought, we must crucify negative thoughts that limit our transcendence, correcting ourselves daily in order to maintain peace and purpose, reminding each other that self first, unity and togetherness second. Priority is a sacrifice. Compromising one part of ourselves for another, grinding and vibrating our civil human rights, exercising shift collectively. This is not a solo movement. There is no separation in union. Family rules the dynasty, not one single soul, but together. We have the solution. Self will be impulsive without organization alone. The burden is lessened. The burden is lessened instantly when two or more creative energies are solid within their source of talent. We do not enforce. However, we are the holistic force. Watch slowly and be patient with the energies that are among us. Embracing all, remaining whole and open. Respecting the realm and take nothing personal. Above, stand under, then the current thought. We are gathering our philosophies and applying knowledge to the full purpose, passion, and this desirable space. Again, I would like to invite Dr. Randall Van Wagner.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay. So we have a couple of questions for you guys. Right.
First Thank question. You for that modern scripture opening there. That was fantastic.
How do you feel today, President Van Wagner?
Good. End of the day, but that's all right. Got some evening stuff yet to go, but it's good.
Thank you for joining us. The Black City Union is happy that you're here. We think you're very brave to be here.
No. Happy to be here.
All right. So our first question comes from this gentleman here.
Yes.
Open up the microphone. Thank you.
Oh, cool.
Just open everyone's microphone.
What is the most challenging part about being president?
The most challenging part? Yeah. Managing time and priorities. I want to be kind of everywhere. It's one of the reasons I haven't been a community college student myself, and having been a dean of students, I like being with students, but my job draws me in so many other parts. Having an opportunity to be here today is a great example of end of the day, this is a bucket filler for me. So I'd say time management is far and wide the hardest thing.
And was it your dream job?
Wasn't always my dream job. I think like so many careers, people back into them. I even changed my major in graduate school. I thought I wanted to I graduated with a communication degree because I was on the golf team and we traveled a lot and couldn't handle a too rigorous curriculum, and I wasn't the best student, to be very honest. But I learned that you could teach at a community college with a master's degree, and the community college was a special time for me because I was the first one in my family to go to college, and I was kind of like a student that just got by. I guess I tried hard, but I didn't succeed really greatly until I went to the community college. The faculty there was something about it. They saw something in me that I didn't see in myself and kind of woke me up. So when I graduated with a bachelor's degree, I thought, well, maybe I'll go back and work at a community college, and I could endure two more years of graduate school, master's, and found that I had the opportunity to consider going to administration instead of teaching, and working in a community college. There's a college in every community. So I married, my wife is a nurse, so she was pretty flexible in where she could live and find a job. And kind of one thing led to another, and I always had great mentors kind of pointing the way. And to become a community college president, I looked at it very closely. When I was a dean, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a vice president. And then when I was a vice president, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a president. But to find a place like MVCC and like Utica and Rome, it's like just the right size where I can still invest in my family, in my marriage, in my children, and still have a balance with the size of this institution and still be able to give my best MVCC. So it's one of those things where it wasn't my dream job, but now that I'm here, I can't imagine doing anything else. There's an exercise that I would challenge all of you to do is describe your life in six words, a six-word sentence. And I was in some workshop to do that, and mine would be, if I have the numbers right, living beyond your wildest, oh, that's too bad, 5 words, living beyond my wildest dreams, something
awesome.
And that's really what this is for me. I never thought I'd have a role like this. I guess I'm just a late bloomer.
You mentioned family and children. How old are your children?
I have a freshman in college and a ninth grade. Both of them are daughters.
Wow. How cool is that?
What motivated you to create a blog?
Blog. When I came in 2007, came to the college, our marketing director at the time said that, because I'm the fifth president in 60-some years at MBCC, I was following a president who had been here for 24 years. So I was new, and my marketing director said, you know, everybody is going to want to know more about you, so the blog would be a way to share what's on your mind and share a little bit more about you, be a little more transparent. And I was grateful for the idea because I was one of my strengths, one of my top five strengths is ideation. So collecting all that information, input is close to that as well, and it gave me an outlet to process all the information, everything I was learning about the college and the community, and I think I kept it up for close to 5 years of writing one every week, a post. It became a little exhausting toward the end. I think I'm over 250 or so posts over the years now, but now it's like maybe two a month I try to do.
Uh-huh.
Slow it down a little bit. Every week was a lot.
Yeah. So out of those blogs that you've done, is anything just stands out right now that you can remember?
Probably the one that, you know, at the end of every blog I write, if you have any questions or comments, you know, contact me directly. And early on there was one where my family and I, we tried to get a Christmas tree and our car got stuck and it was a disaster. So I wrote a post about that, about a local farmer helping us. And like if we all at the college could treat all the students the way this farmer treated us, oh my gosh, what a wonderful place it would be. And then another one was, so I got a lot of comments about that one. And another one was where it took our daughters on a roller coaster and talked about overcoming your fears and that kind of thing. So I found all these people who like roller coasters.
I'm so afraid.
Those two stick out.
So I'm going to come to you after this gentleman here.
How you doing, Dr. Van Wagner?
Fine, thanks.
I have a question. Just how pleased are you with the overall production of this school? And what would you say is the biggest strength and its weakness of the overall school?
You know, I don't often do this where the answer is the same. And for me, the strength and weakness is our diversity. For me, that's what makes it special. A community college overall, the diversity of age, I think, is fascinating. As a community college student, to benefit from the returning adult students in the classroom, bringing their life experiences in there. And as an 18-year-old, I experienced faculty who can bring their life experience into the classroom, and the 18-year-olds benefit from what they have to share. So there's the age piece here in Utica with the refugees and immigrants. Adding to the diversity here, I think that's incredible. Our diversity and global view requirement is very unique. It's not perfect, but there's something there. The cultural series adds way beyond the curriculum. And yet I think a big weakness that we have and have struggled with this is having our faculty and staff diversity mirror our student diversity. We definitely need more minority role models and people of color on faculty and staff in the right roles. All the research shows the student success, there's a connection that we can increase student success if we have more, if students are able to see people like themselves in front of the classroom, walking around campus in key positions at the college.
Good evening. Before I ask my question, relating back to how the firemen helped you and your family, does Mohawk Valley offer any volunteer programs or community outreach programs that we could participate in?
Yeah, the you know, a lot of the student clubs, that's the primary way. Phi Theta Kappa does a intergenerational cleanup. The welding club does a, it's called Welders Among Community, and they'll take their talents out into the community and do projects for nonprofits or getting behind other community efforts where they volunteer. And then another small thing we have is Team MBCC, where we advertise among students as well to participate in walks and other community fundraiser events. There's a Strides Against Breast Cancer walk, the Great American Heart Association walk and run, and I think we raise close to $25,000 a year for community groups. One of the things that we've just identified in the college's strategic plan, saying we need to do more in this area, is it's called service learning, where it's not quite volunteering, but it connects the classroom into the community. For example, a graphic design class might, instead of creating a logo for a fictional organization that doesn't exist, the faculty member connects them to a local nonprofit that might not be able to afford a new logo and branding, and the class then creates designs for that nonprofit, and it kind of takes the course objectives and the learning to the benefit of the community through unpaid volunteer, if you will. So the students benefit from real-world experience, and the community benefits from the talents of the students. One shower in the quad. In the residence hall. Yeah. Residence halls are built in 1966. The ratios on those were established as they are. And so the design, I wish I had a better answer for you other than that it seemed like a reasonable ratio. But one of the things we're looking at, we have a master plan steering committee right now for the residence halls, and one of the things we're looking at is kind of redesigning some of the, in particular, the six-person suites with the compact double, and instead of six people for one shower, going down to four people for one shower. But I haven't experienced that in particular, but when you compare that to the group, to the entire floor showers, mm-hmm. The ratio typically works out better, the 6-to-1 more so than 8 showers for a whole floor, as I've seen in other places.
The VSU would like to know who you would potentially support in the 2016 presidential election.
Oh, going political. All right, I'll go for it. I will tell you clearly not Donald Trump. By golly, he makes my stomach turn. I'm probably more of a Hillary person. I definitely skew to the left, having gone to college in Ann Arbor, and but consider myself an independent because I get frustrated with the big party stuff. But my mother is a German immigrant and immigrated here when she was 22, and my father was his family can trace back to the 1650s, and my mom voted in every election since I was 18. And I am a big proponent of you got to get out to vote.
Okay, we have a final question.
Final question already?
Jeez,
okay.
Hello. This is my final question. This may be the most controversial topic raised
however we feel is necessary for us to, as a professional and personally, to hear your state on views of what would you do or what would you like us to know to ensure that we should not accept prejudice, racism, or any bias conflicts towards any of us. And we would like to ask you, if anyone at NBCC is exposed to any of these type of problems or have shared these unfair emotions of being, you know, attacked in any verbal or emotional way,
yeah,
what would you suggest one to do?
Yeah. You know, the I don't know if you're aware of Title IX. It's federal legislation that is intended to prevent harassment and discrimination for any institution that receives federal funding. All of our federal financial aid is connects us to that. So we actually, I just went through an hour workshop yesterday, mandatory training for all of our full-time employees, and you would report, I would encourage a student or really anyone who is employees go through our human resources office, students would go through the vice president of student affairs to report that through that office. Or if it's more immediate threat and significant, you could go through public safety. And then there's a process. We've got five trained investigators to go through that process and go through that formal process related to that harassment. And, I mean, it's a very challenging thing because it goes to a person's perception. There's no clear definition to it. But I feel like we've got good processes in place for that. And trying to keep the lines of communication open. I, for example, appreciate being invited here today and open invitations for ongoing into the future if there's more things to come and talk about. When I look at what went on at the University of Missouri and the gut-wrenching experience that some of those students felt and their frustration, if you kind of look at that from a big picture, a lot of it went to the administration not being willing to sit down and talk or hear what the problems and issues are. Because, you know, I get frustrated when people say, you know, just because President Obama got elected president that, you know, race issues are, we've made so much progress that as a society we're past that. And, boy, it almost seems like we're slipping at times.
Do you feel like has there been any progress on campus throughout the years? And has these issues that have been raised been resolved?
Yeah, I mean, well, we haven't made progress to a great extent. We're still a long way with regard to diversifying our faculty and staff, and that's we're putting that stake in the ground on our strategic plan to try to do more with our recruiting for faculty and staff. It's a little difficult in this area, but still that's no excuse to recruit a more diverse pool for all of our positions. But that requires us to be more intentional, like encouraging our students of color to think about a career in higher education, go ahead and get that master's degree and come back and work at MBCC. That's one small angle. Other progress, you know, back in 2010, we actually had a major civility initiative here because it wasn't specifically related to race relations, but it was just an overarching issue around civility. And we had a civility campus forum, the only one I've ever experienced in all my 25 years of community colleges. We had over 700 faculty, staff, and students in the theater and in IT 225 participate in the civility forum. Student Congress played a large role in making that happen. And over the years, that civility has not been as big of an issue. So I think we've made some progress in that. But, yeah, I think like most colleges, we've still got a long way to go.
Hi. Good afternoon. I have a question just to piggyback what you said about the Title IX and going to human resources when there's a lot of race issues on campus. What is a person of color on campus to do when those issues actually come from some of the faculty and staff on campus? And But what do we do now when we take it to human resources, and human resources just give those people a slap on the wrist? So who do we turn to in those difficult times when we feel like we're alone on this campus and we feel like we're singled out because, you know, the some of the issues on this campus pertaining to racism is really, you know, in your face directly, and sometimes we just can't avoid it. So how would you tell someone, a person of color, to actually deal with that, and actually in the especially for athletes, how do athletes feel, you know, with coaches? Example, there was an incident last semester with the track and field department, where the issue was racism, and it was brought to human resources, and those coaches had a slap on their wrist, and they're still there doing the same thing, bothering or using that authority they have to basically be able to get away with some of the things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I would offer not a slap on the wrist, but employees here do have due process for themselves, and there are terminable offenses that can terminate their employment. Short of that, there are disciplinary measures and steps of due process that take place, and if they continue to do that, I would encourage filing an additional complaint to then investigate that and have them continue on. Progressive discipline is what it's called, and there are two or three steps along that way before they get to the point of probation before termination.
But I feel like personally, like, one time alone is too much. You know, I do fathom that there is a due process has to be done,
mm-hmm.
but there's no due process saying that, for example, you know, a person has to say, I'm not racist, or I didn't do that, or I didn't say that, or I don't think this way. And then that whole situation and issue is now dropped. You know, it's not easy to say, oh, well, I accuse this person of racism. Like I said, the only thing they have to do is just say, no, I'm not. So how do we work around that to bring those issues that are in secret from some of these members on this campus that are, in fact, in the faculty and raise that awareness to everyone to then actually make that due process happen faster, or for example, you know, just do really bring that awareness.
Yeah, that is a frustrating situation. If there are no other witnesses to corroborate the story, it's a he said, or one person's opinion against another with no documentation or evidence to be able to prove that. That's a difficult situation. No,
but then when it's taken to human resources, and then there actually are witnesses,
yep,
with several members of a team and written documents,
yep,
and then we pass that step, what's next? If they're getting a slap on the wrist.
If it happens again, you file the complaint, another investigation, and they move on. And I understand your feeling of one time is too many, and I know where that's coming from, no question. But in a unionized environment, those employees have rights as well, and we work within the parameters we have, which I understand is frustrating. But all I would encourage you to do is take that back, file another complaint, and we continue on through the process because it needs to stop.
We filed the other complaint because as part of the DSU vice president for the last 3 months, a lot of my peer students have come to me. Me personally haven't experienced racism. I think I've mastered the craft of ignoring people.
Mm.
So I haven't really experienced it. I can't say. So a lot of other students, 10 plus, for example, I was just in Walmart this past weekend getting some macaroni for the macaroni and cheese. And showing up, another DSU member was telling me about, he's also an athletic, telling me about his coach this semester being really hard on him and that he had to, you know, he cried a lot of times. So this is actually leaving an emotional impact on us as well. And you said something about diverse in the staff. I think that would be a great step towards the future because a lot of the staff, most especially in the sports team, old-fashioned here in America, most especially in central New York,
mm-hmm.
coming from that lineage of direct racism.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that racism is a taught thing. So, you know, whoever might have been in their bloodline may have passed upon things that's not so desirable for us, and which is actually conflicting and making it, you know, a little bit staticky for us to receive our education here.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of VSU members have actually transferred out and is really considering transferring out because of the racism on campus.
Mm.
And this is this semester.
Yeah.
So it's kind of tough.
Also non-VSU
members as well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I haven't experienced it. However, I live vicariously through the experiences, and it's unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
It's undesirable, and it's not. It's just painful.
Yeah.
Today, I feel like I think that in order to grow and progress as a community,
mm-hmm.
as a county, we need to actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk about it more. Offer more sensitivity to not only students, to also to staff and to whoever else you know grows our track. Sensitivity to the fact that we're a nation has been flooded with the era of drugs and cocaine in the 1980s. So, you know, a lot of us, including myself, is a product of that, the crack cocaine era. And now we're in the community trying to get educated, and we too have children who are coming up the pipeline. So I feel like it's very important for us to have, you know, sensitivity with all of these unfortunate circumstances along our path, and to have staff members to give off that type of hate is undesirable.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually heartbreaking.
Yeah, I would, you know, well, what are the avenues? To, again, I go back to the process through the Vice President of Student Affairs. That office is the formal champion on campus, if you will, and oversees those processes and when it relates to a employee of the college and their behavior, then Human Resources does get involved, and the Vice President and the Executive Director of Human Resources work in tandem. Yeah, it would be, you know, an investigation would have to take into account, having been a dean of students and done some of these investigations years ago, you look for disparate treatment. How is the individual being treated differently than others? And I think in the extent to which race plays into that, and those sometimes can be fine line where, you know, it can happen in a classroom where a student might think, hey, I'm being discriminated against or treated differently, and it just so happens that my skin color is different than others. You know, if everybody else, the one student doesn't know how everybody else was treated or graded, but it's trying to look at disparate treatment. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So today is December 9th, 2015, and on behalf of the Black Student Union on Mohawk Valley Community College, we are broadcasting live from Mohawk Valley Community College, and we would like to say thank you to President of Mohawk Valley Community College, Randall J. Randy Van Wagner, PhD. He is the fifth president to serve here along the Mohawk Valley. I'm just curious, what does the J in your initials stand for?
It's very simple, it's J-A-Y.
Oh, Jay. Thanks again. We'll see you back soon. Hawks Black Student Union, this is #SparkPlenty. Thank you for listening. Okay.